All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, okay, here we are in the Museum of Defictionalized Conservative Grievances.
Oh, okay. So this is like one of those Bible museums where they set up dioramas where the miracles happen and you get Jesus riding a velociraptor and such.
Not that cool, but yes.
Okay.
You know, and it's really, it's so much history has happened in the like last 10 years that this museum has a lot of recent things. We're on this timeline here. Mm-hmm. And I want to take you to one of my favorite exhibits, which I'm sure you remember, you're very plugged into online, the conservative outrage over plant-based beer, where they're like, oh, the liberals are going to have us just drinking plant-based beer.
I don't remember that one specifically, but...
It was part of some idiot's thing. It was like, oh, they're going to have you drinking plant-based beer. And a lot of people are like, oh, you got a lot of meat in your beer, bud. This being the defictionalized conservative fear things, these are a bunch of beers made from meat.
Okay. All right. I think that proteins, by and large, just rot. I don't think that they ferment. But okay, sure.
But these have been defictionalized.
Oh, like they've been okay. Yeah.
So this takes the world that they're imagining that is, you know, not true and brings it into reality.
It's a lot of broths. It's like that one really gross oyster beer that I drank.
Well, that's what kind of the beers are like, you know, but all kinds of stuff's here. Mm-hmm. Like all, you know, these things are just like, oh, that doesn't exist. Uh-huh. You know, there's lots of, you know, but here it kind of does. It's a fun little place for like old, like if you have any last day dogs in your conservative family, you know, you're going to want to give them one last treat.
Yeah.
You know, instead of taking them to the park, like you can give them an Italian beef, you can bring them here. Mm-hmm. And they can just see, you know, what they've been afraid of. Like there's a, you know, here's the beer that makes you trans. Mm-hmm. Here's the orange juice that makes you trans. It's all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, well, but for the most part, so what do you say?
A lot of stuff makes you trans.
In the Fear Museum, it's true.
Okay. Yeah.
In real life, you just are or you're not.
Yeah.
You know, you're not made it. But we don't talk about that in the museum. There's that guard over there is even shushing me for even bringing it up.
Yeah. We got a yellow card and we're about to get a red.
So let's drink some of these beers and then we're going to see if any of them suggest a game.
Okay.
Yeah. Meat-based beers, finally.
Okay. I'll just grab this one. Okay. Yeah,
tell me what do you think? This is a blind taste test, a flight of meat drink.
I'm getting notes of flesh.
Okay.
Yeah, that's mostly what I'm getting here.
Would you call it gamey?
Kinda. It's not a meat that I really eat that much.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this? I didn't even read the
flip
placard.
Up to the side. Oh, okay. It's lamb beer.
Oh, it's lamb. Oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah.
Opa.
I thought that there was something minty in there. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, mint goes in there for some reason. Yeah, it's lamb beer. Oh, shit. Game computer.
That can't be.
This is
ridiculous.
We've already done this.
No, we haven't.
Weird. Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball. We have not done Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
We have not done Bill Laimbeer's.
We have not done Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
Nope. I told you in Discord.
We have somehow not done Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
No,
that is fucking crazy. What is wrong with us? My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, the soup that eats like a meal.
And this week, we are talking about Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
We've not done Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
Hired goons. good goons actually play into this, weirdly. It is an SNES game, the Bill Laimbeer version of it anyway, but also like a microcomputer game that people might know as Future Basketball, Combat Basketball. I forget what it is. I'm real wrapped around the
axle. Just Future Basketball.
Just Future Basketball. Okay. Yeah. Boy, was I disappointed on the way that this premise was executed.
I mean, this is one of the worst Super Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Like this is dog dick.
Yeah.
But One of the things that's kind of like, this is, was an infamous like game to me growing up. Like this was my comedy game title.
Okay.
For a long time. You know how Ray Barnhold, formerly of Metro Retronauts, has Eliminator Boat Duel as the comedy kind of just like popcorn classic. Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball was mine for a long time. I always thought about, oh yeah, Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
Yeah.
Never
yeah.
played it, but I thought about it all the time.
Yeah. No, that's like me with Archer MacLean's Mercury.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like everybody's got one of those things.
Yeah.
This is so bad, but I am legitimately wrapped around the axle on us not doing it because I feel like I would have. The only reason I haven't suggested this one, because I've always been interested in researching it, is that I thought we already did it.
Yeah.
Like it would have been like episode 7.
Yeah. No, this is this just came up. It was a random one that I pulled in, put into the randomization machine by Sean, longtime listener Sean, saying from the Wikipedia article, Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball is a full combat basketball game.
It is. It sucks so bad because that's a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, like, I mean, basketball, but they can hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of had that. I think that they tried to make an NBA Blitz.
You can do it in Arch Rivals a little bit, which was the precursor to NBA Jam.
And then NBA Street. I know that you could get, you could get kind of rough. Yeah.
And it makes sports better. Like robot armor, being able to hit, all of these things make sports better in video game form. Otherwise a basketball, 16-bit basketball game is a 16-bit basketball game is a 16-bit basketball game. Like you needed something.
Except this, which is top down for some unknown reason.
It plays like a mini game from the American Gladiators Super Nintendo game.
It does. It looks so much like the Eliminator in that.
Yeah. It's really bad. It's really hard to tell where anything is. The AI is tuned very hard against you. Like it is hard to make baskets. Mm-hmm. You have no sense of depth. They put a shadow on the ball, but it's not useful.
And everything is so slow. The ball, like when it's passed or when it's shot, it gets a little bit bigger and a little bit smaller to kind of simulate depth. But you are playing this basketball on the moon.
Yes.
It's the future.
For a long time.
It's the future. You could do this. Yeah.
Gotta use the moon for something. And then you can get like weapons and power-ups, but I don't care about them. They don't count. They don't do stuff. Yeah. And everything is done with one button, which is dumb.
Yeah.
This is a really bad video game.
Mm-hmm.
IMO.
Yes. I don't know. It's like this was made before NBA Jam, but like, I don't know. There have been good basketball games before NBA Jam.
Sure. Yeah. Like, you know, in terms of the video game sports, I find it a hard one to early on. Like the 16-bit era, I think it suffered.
Yeah.
You know, baseball and football and hockey did better early on. It took a little bit for basketball to get there. But once they weren't horrible though.
Mm-hmm.
And then like once they got there, like excellent.
Yeah.
NBA Jam, great.
You know, and then NBA. And now like the only real, like, you know, not the only real, like the main sports game that you hear about is NBA 2K.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, people talk about MLB The Show, et cetera, but that's console exclusive. Like 2K is like dominant.
Yeah. Not my circus, but good for them.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we are due, and this is never going to happen with the fucking Knicks winning, but we are due for everyone to get bored of sports again and start adding robots and guns in video games.
Yeah.
You know, not in real life. I'm not asking for that. But in video games, I would like to have another combat sport.
I am asking for football, but you have a gun.
Football, I mean, football with fucking anything. Yeah. Fix it. This is based around a real life monster. Mm-hmm. Bill Laimbeer, this kind of Klaus Kinski-esque demon who used to just like beat the shit out of and intimidate people and was a record holder for the number of like fouls and violations. And it only stopped because he got kicked out at some point. And then they put him on as a commissioner. They're like, we got to get this guy in to be the Las Vegas Aces coach.
Yeah. I love the Las Vegas Aces. The Sacramento Kings, like just his whole like post, post career. Yeah, no. Like the idea of these like unofficial positions within sports are really fun to me, you know, cause like, every you know, like basketball team. Like this is a thing on hockey too. We're just like, nobody is like specifically the, you know, the, like the nightmare man that I, yeah, nobody is like specifically the goon or the enforcer. Like you just like, oh, you also have like the, you know, the pest as well.
You just kind of like little roles that are meta. Meta positions. Almost.
Yeah. I fucking love that shit. I just love the idea that like somebody is like officially or unofficially like in the locker room, like, all right, you're going to go around and try and like get in people's head and get heads and goad them into doing stupid shit.
I like it because it's strategy.
Yes.
Like it's Yomi. It's like poker strategy applied to like, you know, it feels outside the rules. So it makes it more interesting than the actual rules of the game.
I also just love it as part of like the social dynamic of the team as well. Yeah.
Do you ever see Goon?
I have never seen Goon.
It's a girl I was dating a while back who like we didn't have tons in common, but she's like, watch this, trust me. Mm-hmm. And I was skeptical, but it's actually pretty fun. It's a pretty good movie, and it's about this like guy who's not that good at hockey, but just really good at hitting people.
Yeah,
getting in that position.
Oh, it's this Sean William Scott.
Sean William Scott, who I always want to hate because of American Pie reasons, but he's actually really charming.
He's actually like super solid. He's Country Mac.
He's Country Mac. He's in Role Models, which is a movie I'm a big shooter for. I like Sean William Scott. Mm-hmm. He's good in Goon as well.
Mm-hmm. This is also good stuff in like Shoresy. As well, Shoresy, Letterkenny, all of that, like the good part of the hockey, of the hockey arcs and that. Yeah.
It's what you want. Mm-hmm. But it does not come across in this game very much.
No. When everybody can do it and it is so awkward. Garrett, I spent all of my time either trying to catch throw-ins or doing throw-ins.
Yeah.
Just stuff went out of bounds. Like that was 90% of what we did.
The bounds was a huge problem. Like one of the things contrasting this with Super Baseball 2020, one of the things that that game did that I think makes it better is reduce the foul area to make it much more smaller. This just need to have no out of bounds, just have a wall where it bounced off of.
Yeah.
Out of bounds is not interesting.
Yeah. Turn it into fucking arena football is what that is.
Why not? I mean, but again, big improvement, especially as a video game. Like you're a big basketball fan, more power to you. But in a video game, like, you know, especially a 16-bit video game, I would like to not spend as much time dealing with out of bounds.
Yeah.
There is a miraculous piece of GameFAQs gold on this I wanted to ask if you found.
So I found some good stuff, but I don't know which one is a miracle.
Well, I consider it to be a miracle just because it's really weird. It's not miraculous. Like this is dedicated to the 9/11 firefighters.
Yeah.
But I just find it really weird. The bottom of the existing fact of this is the question, I play this game too much. What can I do to make it challenging again? Did you see that?
I did.
I really like this. Like, oh, how I miss the days. Okay, day. When Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball presented a challenge. Here's what I do sometimes. As soon as I can, trade all my players for Joel's. It's a great sentence. As it is, right? Like, you got to trade out everybody for a Joel. Two, get to the Super League. Three, don't play the game for at least 8 months. What iteration loop is this guy working on where he's like, oh, I got to get Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball to be fresh again. Well, I'll see you in 3 seasons. And then beat the Super League. And then note that if you ever have a save in the Super League, you don't have to do the very time-consuming second step. So you don't have to get to the Super League. Mm-hmm. I've never failed to beat Super League doing this, but the first few games are challenging. There are even some rare occasions in which I've managed to lose a game. But Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball has Cro-Magnon AI, and there's nothing I can do to change that. There's nothing you can do to change that.
I think you're trying to get blood from a stone, dude.
I looked around and there were no more worlds to conquer.
I miss the days.
Yeah, out the day.
The day.
This is one of the most confident game facts I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
About something that nobody likes.
Yeah.
And I find it very sweet.
And it is a 1.5 page fact.
Yes.
Generously.
Yeah. Jump. Uh-huh. This person also does the speed run. FAQ for Final Fantasy III on the SNES.
Okay.
And that's a little bit more challenging and interesting.
Yes.
You know, as a thing than just kind of being good at Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball. Sadly, there's not a like when you get sick of the speedrun, what do you do?
Right.
Thing.
Yeah.
I wish there was. I like that a lot. That tickled me. Maybe it's not solid gold. Yeah. I just really liked it.
It is good. I like the swagger on that. I do like the as soon as you can trade all of your players for Joels.
That's a great sentence. That's a good one. I was like, yeah, video games.
I've
got his Joels.
I was so I recently got an e-bike and it's fun, but I'm not very confident riding it in a city setting. Never done a lot of city of bike riding. Want to be safe, right?
Yeah.
And so I was watching a video last night, just like, okay, safety traffic tips for riding a bike in a city. How to bike? And you know the guy, like it was all pretty good. It was all pretty good tips, except he kept on saying, "We're going to become a car now."
That's weird.
which it made sense because I was like, okay, like to do this, we need to, you know, we need to act like a car. Like in this situation, legally, we can overtake the lane, blah, blah, blah. But you know, boring shit. But just like he said, all right, we're going to be a car now.
I really like that. I like that sentence a lot.
And then just like aggressively merges left.
A funny thing about, like, I mean, not funny. I'm going to not go on this rant, but if bike people acted like cars, I would like them. Like the bikers, at least in the city, are the most have your cake and eat it too.
Oh, no, Gary, you're stepping into such a minefield. If the bike people did anything but bike and argue with each other, they would be so mad at you right now.
It's literally that I'm just a little guy, you wouldn't hurt a guy with glasses.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
Like they're just like, I'm traffic. I'm going to take this turn. Mm-hmm. And then like they'll look back like, what did I do? I'm sorry. Like back when they're like, you know, you have to drive down a full regular street at 5 miles an hour for as long as they see fit.
Yep.
You know, I'm traffic.
Yeah.
And it's just like, go fuck yourself. It's so irritating.
Yeah.
And I don't drive like very much. I just drive with Liv sometimes, but it's constantly getting stuck behind these assholes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my most conservative opinion, not in the bikes. And theoretically, if I was designing a Sim City, you know, give me the bikes.
Yeah.
In terms of their actual presence in my life, all negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Problems solved by bike lanes.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can't have bike lanes everywhere because every road can't. Like there's residential streets and shit.
Yeah.
People will just kind of like Sunday drive down a residential street with like three cars behind them.
Yeah.
Can't have bike lanes in every street.
Nope.
You don't need them. Like you just need your thoroughfares. These people are just kind of clogging it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sucks. Yeah. Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball.
I don't have anything more to say about it other than selling all of your, make all of your drills into cars.
Yeah, I like that a lot. There should be car basketball, which I guess is, what's its head?
Rocket League.
Rocket League.
Yeah.
One of the things, when this is called future basketball, I was thinking about it. The future of basketball is depressing because it's just basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we have old timey where they actually threw the thing in a big fruit basket and they had to get, somebody had to get it down. Mm-hmm. And then basketball now, and it feels like no steps in between.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they could do. Like, no shoes? I don't know what the next advancement in basketball would be.
Yeah, it's a pretty pure sport insofar as, like, it doesn't, like, there's not a lot of accoutrement. Like, it's not like football where the padding gets so intense that, you know, everybody can get so aggressive and, you know, just do even more damage to themselves.
Bigger concussions on a longer timeline.
Harder hits. Yeah.
Hard to recover from.
That kind of stuff. Basketball is kind of just basketball.
Yeah. A lot of ACL shit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball is a context in which I hear about ACLs a lot.
Yeah, real rough on your knees. There's a lot of, you know, just like very, very quick pivoting your center of mass.
I believe that. Yeah. It's also a thing where the sound of a basketball game I find unpleasant because it's either just a nonstop dim of screaming or constant loud squeaking.
Oh, I love the squeaking.
You like the squeaking? I find the squeaking very sonically unpleasant.
Yeah. I don't know. I just associate this, like the squeaking, like that could put me to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I wasn't expecting that. I thought it got pumped.
Yeah.
Remind you of fun gym class times. But no, you could fall asleep to the squeak.
Yeah, I could fall asleep to the squeaks.
You could become the phantom of the Moda Center. You could sleep under it. and get like a mask. And then,
that's what the Phantom of the Opera did. Just slept up on the rafters.
Yeah, slept up in the rafters, took naps.
The Phantom of the Moda Center would just like constantly be getting tangled in jerseys.
That is likely true. You could do that.
God, I love the idea of retiring something by lifting it up into the rafters. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I fucking want. That's how I want to be buried. Like, retire my fucking carcass by raising it into the rafters.
Put it inside a bunch of jerseys.
No, just hang it dry.
Well, I was thinking about how to sneak you up there. Like, they're not going to allow this, but if your friends wanted to help you with this, they could launder you in a bunch of retired players' jerseys.
Yeah.
And then have you go up there, and then we like get up in there and unwrap you later.
No, I want it to be a whole ceremony with like spotlights and strobes. Yeah.
It's going to be tricky to pull off. Mm-hmm. You have to make some pretty big contributions to the sport of basketball. And you better start now because you're pretty in the hole, I think.
Yeah. I've mostly been working against basketball for my adult, for my entire life. You have to
really switch gears pretty hard.
Yeah.
I'm a homeowner and I want to get a basketball hoop, I think, over my garage.
Yeah.
I do not like the game of basketball even a little bit.
The act of shooting hoops is very fun.
The act of shooting a hoop, like even you can do like horse or what have you around the world. That's fun-ish. Mm-hmm. I just like going back and forth and shooting a couple hoops.
Yeah.
It's good if you get it. There's no competition. It's just like, oh, that's satisfying. I did that. Oh, I'll try again. I didn't do it. That's it. It's a real simple binary nutrient of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I'm worried it'll attract teens because there's a bunch of teens on my yard, in my street, that have like play in the public hoops that are on the street and stuff. And I was like, wonder if that's going to get me teens. Mm-hmm. So you get teens in the driveway and then you can run over teens.
It might be how you get teens. Yeah. I don't know. Can you can you get one of those ones that just like automatically folds up?
Yeah.
I don't know
or like raises it to impossibly high. If it detects the presence of a teen. You know,
what if, like, they might start trying to ride it.
I know,
is the thing,
or just keep trying to dunk it and really get themselves injured. Like, fuck up my insurance as a thing. I guess I can probably get around that putting up a tiny sign that says no teens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you put up a sign, I think you get away with shit like that.
Yeah, you just put up a no trespassing sign. Yeah.
I think I even got one. No soliciting, no teens, no trespassing.
No teens. Minors do not interact.
Yeah, that's a sign that it will raise questions with neighbors in a positive way.
You're just interested in their safety.
I am interested in their safety. Yeah. When I first moved here, a teen left a hockey stick on our yard. Mm. And like, I grabbed it at first. I was like, hey, free hockey stick.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, like, I'm not in a video game. I can't sell this for... what am I going to do with this? And I just kind of put it back where it was and it disappeared a day later.
Mm.
I like to think I serve the team community by doing that.
Yeah. My house had like a big fenced in backyard that because of the weird lot abetted against, I would say, 8 different properties, all of whom had little kids who fucking loved playing volleyball.
Yeah.
I was constantly just like, you know, getting volleyballs out of my fucking, you know.
That's what happens when you're in the crotch of the sack pack.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. That was exactly where I was.
Yeah.
You had a digression that came up during a best quality vacuum, and I wrote on an index card here the word teacher.
Yeah. I went, I visited home. I did a bunch of really fun stuff, but that's all going to leak out slowly. Mm-hmm. I think me and Liv might do like some kind of vlog or something about it. Get Liv more on network stuff.
Okay.
There and kind of present it on the YouTube or perhaps as a podcast. We're still figuring it out. But one thing is lots of Lyft drivers.
Of course.
And going from the Brookfield Zoo back to our hotel, we had a Lyft driver. Very talkative. Nice guy, but had the kind of thing where you talk to somebody and they say everything that they say with confidence, and then it gets increasingly less believable until you get out of the car and you're like, I don't actually think anything that person said was true.
It's one of the final forms of a Dermot.
Yes. Yeah. A little bit like a Dermot, you know? So we're going through and he's talking about, you know, the neighborhood, there's a big concert thing, talking about traffic and stuff. Woe is me about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I did a thing that I am annoyed by. I don't know if it's right to be annoyed by, but whenever I would try to relate something to the experience, which is like how I'll converse with somebody, they would shoot it down and correct it. You know, so I'd be like, they would say like X, and I'd be like, oh, I've been in a situation similar to X, like Y. And they'd be like, oh, that's not like X. And it happened over and over.
Yeah.
And it, no, not talking was not an option. Okay. For this guy. But no. The thing that has stuck with me and Liv afterwards is he kind of set us, I think he wanted us to ask about this. He kind of led us down a garden path to ask him if this was his only job. That's something I ask Lyft drivers a lot. Because you got to make, if I'm making conversation, if it's that kind of Lyft ride, you know. So I asked him, you know, and because I'm me, I like to have a little follow-up twist question.
Yeah.
You know, I say, is this what you'd want to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not like a guidance counselor, but like, I like hearing what people's dream job is.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's interesting. I think you learn a lot about somebody by what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Right. And he said he'd be a professor. And okay. it didn't work out. He was like halfway through his dissertation. He told a very long, very boring story. Mm. He actually held us in the car after we got to our destination to tell us this very boring story about how his advisor got replaced.
Oh no, that's a kidnapping.
Yeah, we got kidnapped for a little bit. But the thing that stood out to me that was very funny, and I don't think anyone's ever said this before, is when he was saying how he didn't do it, and he was struggling or something, either me or Liv, I can't remember, said something about like, yeah, you know, it's hard for a teacher to, you know, because we don't pay our teachers enough. And he goes, oh, there's money in teaching. And I've never heard anyone say that with that much confidence.
Okay.
And we were both kind of dumbfounded because that's not true.
No.
You know, that's, you know, like, and he's like,
you're an adult. Yeah. You've known many teachers.
I've known many teachers. I've gone to a college.
Yeah.
You know, I've known many elementary school teachers. And then he's like, yeah, you know, my sister, you know, started off working, you know, teaching, didn't make very much money. Moved to Virginia, makes a lot more money now, six figures. And I'm like, you know, and then we thought she was a professor, but she teaches middle school.
Oh no, that's not where money is.
Yeah.
That's just like anti-money. You've got to buy all your supply. You got to buy Kleenex and shit. Yeah.
I was like, where is this guy coming from? Is he just the way that he was correcting everything everyone said the entire trip,
mm-hmm.
that he is just a contrarian, and the fact that we said this made him have to make up a lie or something? About how it's not true. Like, if passengers say X, negative X must be true. Here's personal anecdote about it not being true. Even if it's something like that, that like elementary school teachers make six figures.
Yeah.
Which is an insane thing to, like, maybe some across the country have done at some point. But famously, we don't teach, you know, pay teachers enough.
Yeah.
Famously, they have to buy all their own shit. Famously, uh-huh. It's a really insecure job. You're talking about colleges as well, like getting tenure, adjunct professors, like working mm-hmm. multiple jobs. Like that is most of the teachers the entire time I was at PSU.
Everything is adjunct. Yeah.
Yeah. Like everything's a temp, so they won't help you.
Yeah. No.
You know, basically the grift has extended to every aspect of our life.
Yes.
Yeah, it was crazy. But just the comments of, oh, there's money in teaching.
Oh, there's money in teaching. Are you talking about being an administrator? Like,
no.
Is that like actually doing pedagogy?
Yeah. Like be elementary school teacher.
Yeah.
You know, oh, she teaches elementary school, kind of middle school. And like, oh, he corrected himself with middle school too. Like, oh, once you get to middle school, that's where the money is.
No.
Yeah. What the fuck? I've never heard anyone say that.
No.
Anything like that. It's one of the least paid jobs for having a master's degree there is.
Uh-huh.
You can get a $40,000 salary.
Yep.
for that. That's, you know, McDonald's money.
Uh-huh.
Almost. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
What a dudo type.
Just, yeah. Oh, just the compulsive liar?
The compulsive liar to lie against such things that are such strong reality tenets.
Okay, so the compulsive liar who has nothing to gain.
Yeah.
Like he just wanted to dominate that conversation.
He needed to get out his story about how his advisor changed. Mm-hmm. And anything that could lead us to that was important.
Right.
In some way of us knowing that he could be a professor right now, but he's doing this.
Right.
And I don't look down on people who drive Lyfts, obviously. Like, that's,
no, you got,
that's super valuable. I need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, I tip well. I like it. It's a service I treat with kindness.
Yeah.
I was not thinking less of him because he was not a professor.
Right.
You know, there was so much insecurity in this dude. It was just wild to see.
It's a guyotype. It's absolutely a guyotype. A guy type that I have like zero time for.
I dislike it quite a bit.
Yeah.
The other Lyft driver we had, this bonus Lyft driver, leaving, going to medieval times, sat down, listened to this music that was called, and I shit you not, so it's called Dark Gentleman Vibes. I thought it was called Dark Gentleman 6 because the just VI cut off, and I was like, oh, Dark Gentleman 6. Spoke to us not once. 160-minute long track called Dark Gentleman Vibes Mob Jazz. And then like a name, and it was a narrative about a guy like, when I kill you, you won't see the bullet. The bullet will fly through. It's just a guy monologuing shit like that. Yay. It was so good. Like, and we had to, Sergey, I think is the guy's name. So, uh-huh. English, not a first language. We had to, Liv, and then Derek, who went with us to Medieval Times, had to not laugh, listening to 20 minutes of the middle chapter of the 160-minute long thing of Dark Gentleman Vibes 6. Go ahead and look up Dark Gentleman Vibes. It is a thing.
Dark Gentleman Vibes, blues music for silent souls.
Yes.
Yeah. Gary, this is Sissy Hypno for people who want to be wise guys.
Yes. It was literally that, and we got to listen to the whole thing, or 20 minutes of the whole thing. It was really great. It was very funny. The detail of it all being one track was really a jump scare, too. I was like, that's weird. Like, these are different songs, but is this burned onto a CD? Like, is this like a Napster thing? What the hell?
Is this like a Godspeed? Like track? Is this a side that is broken into different like movements?
Mm-hmm. No, it's just for silent souls.
Yeah. It's on the playlist that makes you feel like a mafia boss.
Yeah. It was pretty good. It's hard to remember more details than the you won't hear my bullet when it comes for you or whatever. You won't see the bullet that comes for you. But it was really good. It was very funny. Traveling means a lot of fun, Lyft drivers.
Sorry, the thumbnail is fucking John Wick. It's an even more kernel version of like Sigma. Sigma vibes. Like, you take Sigma, Sigma male shit. You put it in a bag of a closet for about 6 years, and then out comes Dark Gentleman Vibes, blues music for silent souls. Immerse yourself in the midnight blues music, slow blues guitar and gentle blues instrumentals designed to calm the mind and evoke deep emotions.
There's nothing blues about it.
Okay.
It said mob jazz, but there was more dancey. It was more like dark techno.
Okay.
Or something like that. But once you add dark as a genre, that fucking sucks. you're going into hell.
Like, dark gangster jazz playlist for men who like, I need to see what the end of the sentence is. Please. For men who walk like a boss video YouTube.
Yes.
YouTube.
I love to log on to YouTube.
Yeah. And then somebody in the comments, this is all AI.
Likely AI. Liv said that it was AI because she didn't think it made sense, but I was kind of getting invested in the story. I could kind of follow the tale of the Dark Gentleman.
Yeah. Dark Noir Gentleman, jazz, smoke, whiskey, and Midnight City.
Yeah.
Gary, oh my God, Gary. Why didn't you lead with this?
I was going to save it, but then we had like a minute left, and I thought I'd sneak it in as a bonus.
Yeah.
I was going to save it for the future. It's pretty good.
This Dark Noir Gentleman Jazz playlist brings cinematic mafia energy, smoky lounge atmosphere, and vintage late night vibes together. Perfect for late night thinking, whiskey nights, rainy city drives, focus and studying, lonely midnight moods.
I love having whiskey nights. it's time for another whiskey night.
Yeah.
Time to put on some appropriate music for late night thinking at my whiskey night.
Are you familiar with Whiskey Friday?
No. What is Whiskey Friday?
So after Barry Weiss took over CBS and installed her own guy on CBS Evening News, Tony Docopil, part of like trying to bring like Daily Wire energy
I heard about that failure, like the
viewers,
nobody likes it.
Yeah, but part of the Daily Wire thing is like Tony Docopil has on CBS like broadcast Whiskey Fridays with Tony Docopil, where it's him drinking whiskey and smoking stokies with men.
That's
on a faux leather set library hunting lodge thing.
That's very funny. We didn't get we didn't burn that out with Davis Aruni. I feel like Davis Aruni should have burned out that aesthetic.
It really should have.
But it went in hibernation for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now it's big time. It's back.
Yeah.
Big time back.
God. God, fucking dark Italian gentleman vibes inspired by The Godfather.
And it felt a little bad because it was this like ESL, yeah, like Russian dude who did not, you know, said like three words to us the whole time. You know, he's obviously somewhat important to this guy.
Yeah, he put it on intentionally, but I don't.
And it had a story. It had a narrative.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like a musical almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't just music. It told a story of a dark gentleman.
Yeah.
So I think it was kind of like an audiobook for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the kind of late night thinking he wanted to do.
The late night whiskey night thinking, rainy, yes, drive.
Yeah.
Giving
things a name, it makes them really dorky.
Oh God, yeah.
You know, because like a whiskey night is fine. Like you can. There's actually nothing wrong, I think, with like sitting around and drinking whiskey. And if you like cigars, smoking a cigar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with your bros, if like that's something you want.
When it becomes the enactment of a fantasy, I think is when, yeah, it gets.
It's aspirational. Like, it's silly because it's just, yeah, a thing you can do.
Yeah,
it doesn't need a name and totemic quality.
Right. It can just be a thing that you enjoy for the intrinsic benefits that you get of, you know, getting dizzy and sick off of a cigar.
Yeah, from tasting bad tasting things,
yeah,
like cigars, you know, and making a room stink really bad.
Yeah.
Like if that's your thing, you know, you can just do it.
Yeah.
Like giving it the dorkiness is not that activity. The activity, there's nothing, mm-hmm, wrong with that. It's, yeah, giving it a name and kind of lionizing it, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's also like the, you know, a real like high school and like early college idea, this stuff. Like this is the kind of shit that I was doing with friends.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, yeah. You but know, it, just it, like, oh, we're gonna get these cheap cigars. And
it's a kid's
whiskey
idea of what's cool, but sometimes like going back
sometimes
to what
it
I think
can also
kids,
be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes like what a kid's idea of is cool is actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, that falls firmly and you're not hurting anybody. You're just a fucking dork for giving it a name.
Yeah.
And putting it on,
yeah,
TV. Good Lord.
Uh-huh. Putting it on TV, yeah, I think is
that's
the
a
thing.
Real, yeah,
trying
that's
to,
a real,
you know, trying to make a, you know, make a statement of, you know, proper masculinity against the,
yeah,
woke there, feminization.
There's a lot of weird psycho brain shit going on with that as well. Like even not in just like hyper masculinity, but just kind of like that is part of it. 100%. But it's also just this kind of what cool looks like.
Mm-hmm.
As a thing that's really silly.
It's the aesthetics, and I think it's also part of like stuck culture kind of stuff,
yeah,
where we're just like we're caught in this boomer idea of the, yeah, you know, the signifiers of cool.
Yeah. I don't want CBS to show me signifiers of cool.
No.
Like
that's not your role, actually.
The problem, you know, I don't want this. If this was just like me and my friends hanging out on TV, that would also fucking suck because, mm-hmm, the idea of we need to embody coolness on TV,
mm-hmm,
for whomst,
yeah,
you know, to whoopst. Like,
yeah,
what does this do? What,
no.
Yeah.
This stuff gets real dorky when you have something to prove.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you think you do. And it's like, no, you can just enjoy a thing. Like, yeah, actually, that's a, you know,
it's most of what happens actually if you just chill out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
you know, it is a cousin to the, you know, hey man, what's up?
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho, what can people do if they like the show?
If people like the show, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Once you're there, you can kick us a few bucks a month. There are like 204 bonus episodes of this show, mm-hmm, Exquisite Suffering, we called it, that are there for the taking if you want to listen. Plus a bunch of stuff that's running currently, like Unfilmable, like Real Lich Hours, like what's the other one? Premium Wafts.
Yep, Adaptation Decay. That's, yep, a higher tier, but you know,
Quackstack.
Yeah, it's like 2 years of weekly episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like this show, the other reason why you should support us is because it lets us keep doing this. Mm-hmm. This is how we keep our houses hot.
Yes,
it's our job. It's how we pay for insurance. It's how we do all that stuff. So
yes,
we need it. We appreciate everyone who's able to. You can also you can rate or review us on different services. You can write reviews. You, mm-hmm, can share it with your friends. You can write a message board. You can write about Reddit, things like that. We appreciate all that.
Yeah.
You can also join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen.
Yeah. What should they do until next time?
Until next time, remember that this has been Abject Suffering, where you've caught me at a very Steely Dan point in my life.